Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today's first reading is taken from the book, from the Gospel of John. And it's chapter 6, verses 25 to 40. And you may find this on page 1070. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." When they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do?" "Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still all that the Father gives me will come to me. Whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me. I shall lose none of all that has been given me, but raise them up at the last day. for my Father will my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second Bible reading is from 1 Kings, chapter 17, verses 7 to 24, and it can be found on page 358 in our church Bible. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there'd been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I've commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food." So Elijah went to Zarephath, and when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may drink?" As she was going, he called, "Oh, and please bring me a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, 'The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of water will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land.'" She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and for her family. For the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil didn't run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" "Give me your son," Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on the bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy also upon this widow I'm staying with, by causing her son to die?" Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him." The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child, carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, "Look, your son is alive." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lord, I am trusting you to put your words in my mouth. I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you, Father, that your word always accomplishes what you have set it out to accomplish. And I pray that your word will work in our hearts this morning in power and help us to understand more of you, more of your love, more of your grace, but also more of what you require of us. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us Jesus. Thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit, who will open your word to us. And may all this be for your glory and your glory alone. Amen. Well, the Lord is very gracious because I always tremble when I see it's Jeremy who's doing the children's talk before I preach, which happens every week, because he always gives the whole of my sermon before I come up here to speak. But this morning that didn't happen, so I'll have to look into the word myself and say something. As Andy has already said, we're beginning a four-part series on the life of Elijah. And this story is found in the book of Kings. And in the two book of Kings, we learn about the history of the kings of Israel and Judah from the time of the death of David right up until the exile in Babylon. And it's not always a nice reading. If we look at chapter 16, the chapter before the text we're looking at this morning, we learn how the kings before Ahab were completely perverted, sinful, and already into idolatry. And we learn that Omri, the father of Ahab, who was king before him, bought the hill of Samaria and established worshipping places to Baal on the hill of Samaria. And he provoked the anger of God. And we learn that Ahab, the son of Omri, in chapter 16, the Lord says he did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. And then along comes Ahab, and he marries Jezebel. Jezebel was the daughter of the king of Sidonia. And with this marriage, the worship of Baal became the official endorsement of the idolatrous religion that she brought with her. Israel now served and worshipped Baal. And in chapter 16, verse 33, we read, Ahab made a wooden image, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God to Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. So Baal was the official god of Israel. And one of the things they believed about Baal was that he controlled rain. So this is important when we look at the story that is going to happen. And then Elijah comes on the scene. We know a lot about Elijah today. One of the things we do know about him from the New Testament was that he was such an important person that when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, we saw Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. We learned that Elijah was a Tishbite from a small town called Tishbe, east of Jordan. But that's all we know about him. We know nothing about his parentage. Did he drop out of the clouds? We don't know, like we did with Jeremiah, that he had a princely heritage. And Moses, we know that when he was called, he saw the Lord in a burning bush. And Isaiah had that amazing vision of the Lord in the temple when he was called. Elijah, we know nothing about how he was called, how he received the courage to go and speak to King Ahab, as he will do. And I'd like this to be an encouragement for every one of us here. For many years, I thought that if the Lord was going to speak to me, if the Lord was going to call me, he'd come in a flash of lightning or a roll of thunder, and it would be immediately obvious. But I'm like Elijah, and I think most of us here are. We have to be able to listen to the still, small voice. And maybe you're feeling just sort of encouraged to do something that you have never done before. Could it be the Lord speaking to you? Maybe he's going to call you to go and speak to Emmanuel Macron. Why not? Why not? So, here we are with King Ahab, and Elijah, who is pushed and has been empowered to go and speak to this horrible king. So there he is standing before the king, but he says, "The living God before whom I stand." He's placing himself in front of Ahab, but placing himself in his real position, serving the living God. And why does he emphasize that he's serving the living God? Because Ahab has made a wooden statue to Baal. So here, the prophet of the living God is going to speak powerful words into the life of Ahab. And what he is going to say, "Well, you are a sinful man, a perverted man, an idolatrous man, and there will be punishment. A drought will come upon the country for many years, and not only that there will be no rain, but there will be no dew, nothing." I wonder if Ahab lost a little bit of his courage after he delivered this message. But we do know that he had to flee, or he had to go somewhere else, out of the way of Ahab. But the Lord showed him the way. The Lord showed him where he would go to be not only protected, but also fed and watered. In a drought, there are no crops. There is not only nothing to drink, but nothing to eat. But the Lord gives Elijah precise instructions to go towards the brook of Cherit, where he will find fresh drinking water in abundance. And not only that, but every morning and every evening, it wasn't Uber Eats who came along, but ravens who brought bread and meat. Now, this in itself is absolutely incredible. We can see that the Lord is overturning the natural way of doing things. But what do ravens normally do? They're scavengers. They come and steal your meat. But the Lord has employed these, what I would call, instruments of maybe destruction to come and bring meat to Elijah. We can depend on the Lord to provide everything that we need. Where the Lord leads, the Lord feeds. Where the Lord guides, the Lord provides. Don't be afraid to go where the Lord is sending you. I know this isn't the passage we're meant to be looking at this morning, but it's important that we spend a few minutes on this to help us understand what Elijah thinks afterwards. Because here he is protected and rested. And he's in a learning situation, learning to depend on God for everything. He's learning to trust. He's learning his sustaining grace. And then the brook dried up. So often in our lives, the brook dries up. A door slams shut, and we thought we were, you know, comfortably going to carry on where we were forever. The door closes. But the Lord never closes a door without opening another door for us to go through. Will we go through the door that the Lord opens to us? The Lord is going to send him away again. And where does he send him? Somewhere comfortable? He sends him to the territory of Sidonia. And this is where Jezebel's father was king. So Elijah, who has been protected where he was, is now being sent into enemy territory. Not very comfortable, but he obeyed. And the Lord, who had told him that he had commanded the ravens to feed him, now tells him, I have commanded a widow to feed you. I have commanded a widow to provide for you. This widow had been able and also willing to do what the Lord was going to ask her to do. So Elijah arrives at Sarepta, and there his heart jumps for joy because he sees the widow coming out, and what is she doing? She's gathering sticks, or what do you do with sticks? You make a fire. Why do you make a fire? It's to cook. For many months, Elijah hasn't had a hot meal. He's been fed. Oh, but oh, to have the taste of something warm. He's already feeling hungry. So he speaks to this widow. Please, would you give me a little water, a small piece of bread? He doesn't ask for too much. But she doesn't say no, but she says, I don't have any bread. I only have a handful of flour and a little oil. And I'm going to use this to make a meal for myself and my son. And then, when it's gone, we are going to die of hunger. She was prepared to die. Depleted resources. How many of us have known that, but not to that point? So many of us have lived through times when things have been difficult. Many of us spend times worrying and planning about how things are going to work out. But this widow had absolutely nothing. And she couldn't make plans. She had nothing to make plans with. She couldn't hope because there was no hope for the future. Now, if I am Elijah, this amazing prophet who comes to this widow woman who has got absolutely nothing, would I ask her to feed me before she feeds herself? Of course not. Christian love. But Elijah has listened to God. I have commanded the widow to feed you. So he must ask, and he must let the widow feed him. He must allow the widow to make this leap of faith, because it is only in doing that that she will see the abundance of the provision of God in her life. Elijah trusted God for the outcome, and the widow trusted God for the outcome. Can we trust God for the outcome of every situation? Yes, we can. Thank you, Eileen. Thank goodness you're here. Can anyone do better than Eileen? Yes, we can. We can trust the Lord. And then Elijah uses a term that Jesus often used when he first met his disciples. Do not fear. The Lord is the one who takes away all fear. Do not fear. Bake for me. And then after for you and your son. Bake in hope. And verse 14 tells us, for thus says the Lord God of Israel. Hadn't we heard that Baal was supposed to be the God of Israel? No, Elijah puts things in their place. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. Baal was supposed to command the rain, but no. The Lord God of Israel will send rain in his time. The widow trusted. The Spirit had compelled Elijah to ask. The Spirit had compelled the woman to give. The poor widow, destitute and desolate, is made able and willing to sustain Elijah. And the same is true for every one of us, maybe just in the spiritual world. We are made able. We are empowered to do everything that the Lord asks us to do, to go everywhere where the Lord calls us to go. The Lord says the bin will never be empty, the jar will not run dry until the time that the Lord decides. So she did according to the word of Elijah. But the word of Elijah has said that he was speaking the word of the Lord. She heard the word of the Lord in her heart. She did according to the word of the Lord, and she gave God the opportunity to work a miracle in her life. The miracle could have happened. God could have had pity on this widow, and he could have multiplied everything. But no, she had to give all that she had. And it was that that sparked the miracle. The miracle happened after she gave. And how blessed she was. For at least 2 years, her son, and all her household were able to eat and to drink as much as they wanted. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus talks about people who give. Jesus says, he who receives you receives me. And he who receives the prophet receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And what a reward that widow woman received. Those who come in the name of the Lord receive blessing upon blessing because they are receiving God himself. Oh, how this episode teaches us to invite God to work by his unlimited power within our limited circumstances. Paul says, when I am weak, I am strong. Is the Lord speaking to me spiritually this morning? Maybe he is calling me to something absolutely incredible. But maybe he is calling me to do something which is absolutely incredible for me, is to give materially. Even when I feel that I'm not financially secure, the Lord can invite me to give, because when I sow into the Lord's work, I will receive blessing. No, I'm not saying give, 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 so that you will receive blessing. A lot of Americans preach like that, but it's not what I'm trying to say. It's just to realize that when we do give into the Lord's work, he does bless us. When we give out of generosity of our heart and not because we want to receive something in return. This widow, invited the prophet into her house. And in return, he feeds. Jesus says that he is knocking at the door, at the door of our house, at the door of our heart. And what happens when he comes in? He says, I'm standing at the door and I knock. If anyone opens the door and lets me in, I will eat with him and he with me. If we invite Jesus into our home, into our heart, we will eat with him. We will feast with him at his banqueting table. We sang in Psalm 23, a table laid before me. So all is going well. They lived happily ever after. What an encouragement. Ah, I forgot the next bit in the story. Her son, her beloved son, she was prepared to die with him, but now they're doing well. But he becomes ill and he dies. I think there is no pain worse than the death of a child. We can imagine that the anguish of this widow. She's in anguish, but she is angry. Angry with Elijah, angry with God. Why did you come? I was okay before. I was getting ready to die. I'd accepted it. But you came, you gave me hope. But why did you really come? She says, to expose my sin? Did you come to kill my son? And Elijah, I don't know if he's angry, but he shares her anguish. And he begins, maybe shout at God, I don't know. You don't know what tone of voice he used in the text. But I can see how moved he was. And he says in verse 20, O Lord my God, he's still his God. O Lord my God, have you brought tragedy also upon this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die? Tragedy happens to Christians. Things don't always work out well for Christians. Christians aren't always protected from pain, but everything happens for a reason. A reason so that the Lord's power and glory can be revealed. Do you remember Lazarus? Do you remember how the Lord wept? The Lord didn't weep because he knew Lazarus was going to be resurrected. He was weeping with his family who were in so much pain because of this death. But he said, this happened so that the glory of the Lord would be revealed. My God, are you responsible for death and suffering? Why? Why? This is Elijah saying, why? But he doesn't stay with his questions. What should we do when we are in anguish, when we're tormented, when we're saying why? We can only do what Elijah did. He acted and he prayed. He prayed. And he prayed with faith because his time near the Brook of Cherith, his time at the beginning with the widow, had shown him how God always provides, how God acts supernaturally, how God always has a solution. Anything is possible with God. Elijah had seen his power in the drought, in the protection, in the provision. And Elijah stretches himself out three times on the boy's inert body, as if he wants to infuse some of his own life into him. He didn't speak very kindly to God. He was in so much pain. He just cried out, why, but bring him back to life. Verse 22. The Lord heard Elijah's cry. Sometimes we are in so much pain, we don't have the words to pray. Sometimes our prayer is just a scream. Sometimes our prayer is just the silence of a broken heart. But the Lord hears. The Lord hears. The Lord answers. The Lord heard Elijah's cry, just as the Lord hears our cry. And the boy was restored to life, as with Lazarus, to show the glory of God. So many of us here have known people who have died. We are still waiting for their resurrection. But in this story of the son of the widow, we have hope for our resurrection when we have left this world. And as we heard in the words that we heard in John's Gospel, the will of the Lord is to raise up all those who know the Son. And if you don't yet know the Son, if you don't yet know Jesus, well, take the opportunity today of coming to him so that you too will be resurrected as the widow's son. Many things have died in my life. Some dreams have died. Hope has died. Some visions that I've had haven't come to pass. But this God of provision, restoration, and resurrection is also the same God who restores our dreams, who will give us back our vision. This is a time of resurrection. We have sung, "These are the days of Elijah." We sing so many things that we don't believe. Did you believe what you sang?
Oh, yes.
Wow. Let's pray. What do you want the Lord to resurrect in your life? What have you received from the Lord that the devil has tried to destroy? The Lord wants to bring that back to you. The Lord wants to breathe life into everything that has been destroyed. His life instead of death. His power instead of weakness. We can trust in the resurrection power of Jesus in our lives now because we have the living presence of Jesus in us. And we can believe in the promise of the resurrection when our life in this world is done. And my prayer for every one of us this morning is that the Spirit will speak to every one of us to show us where we lack trust, where we have needs, where we need to give. But most of all, I feel that the Spirit is encouraging us to offer all that we have to God, to offer our idols, our material goods, to offer our time, to offer all that we are with all our limitations, to allow the living God to work in us and through us, through the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen.